ahead. What were you saying?
You threw your trash in the bin of edible food.
I didn't throw my trash.
Where did that come from, nasty?
What happened was...
Golly, you're nasty.
Our engineer on site, Tree Crawford, he brings us fruit snacks. Every time we do a remote broadcast, he's been bringing us those Tangelos, which I love so much, but they're...
Fruit snacks, people think like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, I'm talking about actual fruit.
Yes,
and
boxes of fruit.
He brought us like a fruit salad Tuesday when we were here at the BB&T Center. And then today he brought us apple slices with caramel dip. And I haven't had these ever. I've had a caramel apple before, but I've always been too old to have the apple dippers.
Oh, these just came out.
These are unbelievably good. The caramel that you make on a caramel apple is much better than just like a caramel square. But
Then eating them with you pour your garbage back into the box.
I didn't pour any garbage into there. It looks like something got stuck on the bag.
Yeah, that's what you put
there.
So nasty.
I have tickets to give away to see the Rolling Stones at Hard Rock Stadium. This is... the No Filter Tour. It's coming to Hard Rock Stadium April 20th. If you want to get tickets, you can go to rollingstones.com, or you can keep listening right now because perhaps in this segment I will give you a chance to win these tickets, especially if Valero reminds me.
That's a great gift.
That's a great gift. Actually, you can use it as a Christmas gift.
I'm telling you.
You can win it and then put it in someone's stocking.
We go back and forth on most musical acts because of our age difference and our genre likes.
Yep.
I can't even argue with the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones, legendary.
Nothing I can say.
They are legendary. And so
I can't make myself look that crazy.
If you want to win tickets, keep listening because we may give them away in this segment. Let me read something to you from Armando Salguero in the Miami Herald. Tell me if you agree with what he wrote here and see if you find it as frustrating as I do. There are reasons Ryan Tannehill has clung to the Miami Dolphins starting quarterback job for seven seasons, so far outliving five offensive coordinators, three general managers, and two head coaches, one of which happens to be a quarterback guru. All those years, and don't text me that I spell it, that I pronounce guru wrong. I do it on purpose. Leave me alone. All those years, Tannehill has been good at times, not good at others. He has been good enough to convince the Dolphins to let him continue, but he hasn't been good enough to satisfy everyone he should remain indefinitely. Even the current Dolphins brain trust, boldly supportive of Tannehill for 3 years, has private questions about him now. And the great debate about Tannehill, in which any logical person can land on one side or the other, depending on that week's performance, may never truly get a definitive winner. Because Tannehill has always been, as we already established, good enough to want to keep, but not good enough to want to keep indefinitely. The definitive answer on what to do with Tannehill is supposed to come after this season. The Dolphins will decide if bringing him back as the starter for 2019 at a salary cap of some $26 million is wise, or whether it's time to move on. And Tannehill, who this season has missed five games with a throwing shoulder injury, was to have the final six games to show the team which way to go. Well, we're two games into that six-game journey. And guess what? Tannehill is making it very hard. To practically no one's surprise, he has played all Tannehill-y the first third of those final six games. Some good, some not. Nothing definitive. And that's not just me saying so, that's the evaluation straight from the source. Tannehill, some good, some bad. I think we're headed in the right direction, Tannehill said yesterday when asked to evaluate himself since his return. Obviously, some plays I would like to have back, some plays I'm really happy with. I think that's the continuous evolvement of playing the position, is you're always going to find some things that you do well, some plays that you'd like to have back. As long as you're improving and not making the same mistake twice, I think you're heading in the right direction. The enigma here is that judging Tannehill's play is so unscientific. To go strictly by statistics the last two games, one would say without question, Tannehill is playing well, and indeed, a top 10 NFL quarterbacker at that level. He has completed 33 of 49 passes for 341 yards with five touchdown passes and one interception. That amounts to a quarterback rating of 112.7. And the 5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio would be light years better than Hall of Fame quarterbacks typically post. But here's the thing. Those stats, rating and all, don't tell the whole story. Oh, they speak to some pretty good moments, some amazing throws. The touchdown Tannehill threw to Devontae Parker on Sunday as he was being clobbered by a blindside rusher was outstanding. And the precision of the touchdown pass to Kenny Stills to give Miami the lead in the fourth quarter was also elite quarterback work. But Tannehill still holds the football longer than he should, suggesting he still lacks the internal clock to know when to get rid of the ball or run. That showed when he was sacked for what was almost a safety against the Bills. Tannehill still makes throws that suggest he doesn't always read the whole field or go through his progressions quickly, and he has gotten away with a couple of questionable throws that should have been intercepted but were dropped instead. But there's still that 112.7 quarterback rating. It glows in neon as if saying, really good quarterback, really good quarterback. I think that's a good start, Tannehill said of the rating. Quarterback rating doesn't tell you the whole picture, obviously. It means something. If you have a high rating, you're obviously playing decent football. But I think I've done some things well and some things I'd like to improve upon to get better at. The idea that Tannehill continues to bring up issues that trouble him causes me, this is Armando Salguero writing, causes me to wonder why he's being so critical of himself. I like to be honest with myself of where I'm at, Tannehill said. You're not going to have the perfect game, but that's what I'm striving for. I'm striving to go out and play the perfect game. I think you're happy where you're at, then you're going to be in a bad spot moving forward. You're not going to get any better, obviously. I have a long way to go to get to where I want to be. I think I'm doing all right, but there are a lot of plays I'd like to be better at. I think we have a lot better football in front of us as an offense. That has been one of the arguments for sticking with Tannehill year after year. He's still improving. As Coach Adam Gase said a month ago, it makes one wonder where the ceiling might be because Tannehill hasn't reached it yet. And that gives strength to the idea of keeping Tannehill being the right call. And then we look at the tape to see those familiar flaws again and see that the team isn't exactly moving down the field efficiently with Tannehill in charge. Against Buffalo, Tannehill barely threw for more yards, 137, than counterpart Josh Allen ran for, 135. Then you remember how Tannehill looked compared to Indy's Andrew Luck the week before, and it just didn't stack up. So the stats are saying one thing, and the eyes are often saying something different. Where does this leave the Dolphins? Well, the team continues to do diligent work, even now scouting college quarterbacks, and the evaluation period for the current quarterback has four more games before it's played out. But based on what we've seen for seven seasons, we should know what to expect between now and season's end. Tannehill's not likely to be consistently amazing for weeks. He's not likely to be terrible. He's Ryan Tannehill, and he's going to make this important evaluation difficult for the Dolphins. That was Armando Salguero in the Miami Herald.
Yeah.
Pegged it, as far as I'm concerned, because here we are. We went into this season going, this is it. Like, this is the final season. We will have a definitive answer. We get to the end of the season again. We don't have a definitive answer, which is why I'm done, because I can't do that again and again and again. But I think he kind of nailed it there, which is you could make a compelling argument on both sides.
Oh, yeah. And this, Armando, that's an amazing job, because he brings up, Tannehill had a very efficient game. He threw for two more yards than Josh Allen ran for. But that Parker throw and that Kenny Stills touchdown and Parker touchdown.
Beautiful.
Amazing throws, getting hit on the money, perfect height, knew when the break was, knew where the hole was in the defense. Tannehill has, if a good quarterback can do six main things, Tannehill does three of them pretty well. And the other three he can't do. But when you see him do those three good things, you're like, hey, he's getting there. And then you see the three things he doesn't do well, and you're like, oh, that's still there. That's what they're stuck in between. They're stuck in between Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and those guys. They have the whole package. What if Tannehill has 70% of the package? Can you keep him?
No.
You can't keep him.
No, and I said earlier in the show, and I firmly believe this, if I ask you the question, can you win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill? I feel like I've seen seven seasons worth. I can say to you, this Dolphins team is not close to winning a Super Bowl. I understand if you put the perfect pieces around him, maybe. But if you put the perfect pieces around any quarterback, maybe. But they're not close to having the perfect pieces. So I look at it after seven seasons and say, can you win a Super Bowl with this guy? To me, the answer is no. So I'm definitive in my choice. Then I got to move on. I'm not telling you that whoever you bring in is going to be, but I can't keep doing that. Can you win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill?
The Jaguars last year could have. You know, and yes, that's a cheap way out.
No, you're right, though. I understand. I mean, it's the Trent Dilfer argument.
But who's trying to do that? Who's trying to find the team that Brad Johnson can lead to a Super Bowl?
But that's, you know what?
Is that more difficult than finding a top quarterback?
Yes.
Is to find a perfect team?
Yes, because we've been trying to do it for seven damn seasons.
Yep.
Seven seasons, because Tannehill's never been Tom Brady. So for seven seasons, you've been trying to field the perfect team around him. You bring in Mike Wallace because you think it's going to benefit him, right? Like, they've made all these moves. Going to get rid of Jarvis Landry because it might benefit him. And you do all these things. And no, that is more difficult than finding the perfect quarterback, is finding the 10 perfect pieces around him.
And that's why they should keep him. And they should take those positives, that 70% of what makes a good quarterback that Tannehill does well with those throws we've seen. And in the past, he's had great throws throughout his entire career. There was a comeback years ago, early in his career in Atlanta, I remember. An amazing game he played. You see those games, and you let a younger guy come in and learn that 70 and see if he can get the other 30. I think Tannehill would be a great quarterback for a young guy to play under, like an Alex Smith.
And I think he would relish the role of being a tutor, which, by the way, after seven seasons and at his age, you kind of have to start looking at that.
You have to, and like Alex Smith. Alex, can you win a Super Bowl with Alex Smith? It's kind of the same thing as Tannehill.
No.
You give him that perfect team, he won't mess it up, but like, he's not going to have that game-winning drive.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford carrying the load? I guess that's the question, is can you win a Super Bowl with that quarterback carrying the load?
No.
And the answer is no. And you even had Megatron with Matt Stafford, and
yes,
you still couldn't do it.
And you know what, and it might be because it's so recent, but Gase kind of showed me that Tannehill can't carry the load with the series in the end of the Colts game.
Yeah.
A duel. 14-14, 24-14, 24-24. This is the time. And I said it that Monday after that game. That's the time when those top quarterbacks step up. That's what you don't want. Think about what you do. When you're coming to an end of a game and you're down by seven against the Patriots and you're driving and you have to get to seven to tie the Patriots, the one thing teams think of is, we got to score. And then they get in scoring range, and this is the interesting thing. Now we got to run time off the clock because you don't want to give Tom Brady the ball 2 minutes left. You don't want to give Tom Brady a minute and a half. You don't want to give Breeze. You don't want to give Rodgers. You don't want to give those. If you give them a minute and a half, they're going to come down and win this game. You give them 3.5 minutes, tie 24-24, and Adam Gase doesn't even try to go down the field. Try to let Tannehill, to your point.
Speaks volumes.
Try to let Tannehill be that guy that we want him to be. And it's recently, and that's why I'm getting to it, but it does speak volumes about, is that if you think Tannehill's that top guy, that was the situation that top guys thrive in.
Valero, play some Rolling Stones for us. Ooh, you picked a good song, my man.
It was random, but I don't know any Stone songs.
Look at you.
Got a Stone, though. That was cool.
He's got it, man. He's wearing his black concert t-shirt. What is this, Undercover?
Undercover of the Night.
Yes, good song. Rolling Stones, No Filter Tour 2019 comes to Hard Rock Stadium April 20th. For tickets, you can go to rollingstones.com or crank it up for a sec, Laro. Maybe you want to win some tickets right now. How should we do this giveaway, Crowder?
560th caller.
Valero, you have time to go through 560 calls?
No, Crowder. Let's do the first number.
Okay.
No, what'd you say?
First number, 5.
Five. Okay. I thought you said the first caller. I'm not making it that easy.
No, the first number of what he said.
All right. Caller 5. Caller five on the contest line, 1-800-227-0560. 1-800-227-0560. 1-800-520-0560. If you are caller 5, you will win one of the better prizes ever given away on this radio station. Two tickets to see the Rolling Stones.
That's a Rolling Stone walking up right now.
Randy Moeller is walking like a Rolling Stone. Two tickets to see the Rolling Stones, Hard Rock Stadium. Caller 5 right now, 1-800-227-0560. Randy Moeller, Jawbones with us next. Radio.com. Radio.com. Back at the BB&T Center, look at Randy Moeller doing a little bit of a dance. You know who this is, Moeller? I will buy you a Funky Buddha beer if you can tell me the name of this group.
10cc?
No, man. 10cc.
I don't know.
10cc was big in the 70s. You're thinking of the original Spandau Ballet, but this is PM Dawn who remade it.
Oh, yeah, Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, very good. Eli Goulding.
No Funky Buddha for you.
Funky Buddha Brewery. You know, we're here at the BB&T Center, and you got Panthers hockey tonight. We were just talking with Moeller before we came back from the commercial break, because right below us and then across from Pantherland, where we do our broadcast, is the Funky Buddha Brewery tap room, and it is always packed.
Overwhelming success. Amazing. They're very happy. Of course, the building and the Panthers are very – what a great partnership.
We had Sean Thornton on Tuesday, yep. And we forgot to ask him about that Gloves Off, which is one of your favorite – is that an IPA?
It's an IPA. I love IPAs. And Sean Thornton got with him, and he was part of the formula.
Yeah, he was.
And made the beer with him.
He was part of the partnership as well as when they negotiated their agreement and to come in here. But, it has been a smashing hit.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and it's a great location for him because all the fans coming in the front, you go around one side or through Panther Line, you run right into it and that. So, yeah, no, it's been a great success, and the fans really like it.
If you're coming to the game tonight at the BB&T Center, you make sure you stop by the Funky Buddha Brewery tap room and get the gloves off. That's probably, especially at a hockey game.
Yeah.
You know, a hockey game, you've got to try the
gloves
off.
And maybe if Sean Thornton is around, you can ask him to punch you in the face.
He almost did on Tuesday. He almost punched me in the face.
He was on Hit Hawk Tuesday.
Oh, was he?
He tries to poke at people, man, and Sean's a little different.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, Moeller, but sometimes I'll poke at someone to see how. But,
oh, I'd love to see you just go down.
But he came up. What happened
smelling
was
salts.
We were doing the show, and I didn't realize he was behind us, and he gave me like a jab in the back to goof around, but his goof around laid me out. Yeah. And then I was.
Nine doctor's appointments later.
That's got a soft body. That's what it is.
I do. I really do. I can't even argue.
And I got to tell people to come January 12th to the Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Fest.
Yes.
Up there in Oakland Park. Go to FunkyBuddhaBrewery.com to get tickets for all the information. But 200 beers, you pay about $50, and you go in there, have as much beer as you want. They have food trucks. It is an amazing event in January 12th.
Yep. Funky Buddha gets it done. And, again, if you're coming to the Panthers game tonight, Panthers and Avalanche, come to the right across from Pantherland, you'll see the Funky Buddha Brewery tap room. Try one of those gloves off because they are good. Randy Moeller is the television analyst for the Florida Panthers. You'll see him tonight on Fox Sports Florida. How much difference does a healthy Roberto Luongo make for this team?
A big difference. He just has such a calming effect. It just seems like when he plays, the team plays with much more confidence in front of him. And that's not a shot against James Reimer. James Reimer's played some very, very good minutes and goaltending for the Panthers. But when you're Roberto Luongo and you're a future Hall of Famer and you have 476 wins, and tonight he'll play in his 1,012th game. Think about that. That's like 1,012 starts for a pitcher. Because goaltenders don't play every game, obviously, and the longevity. But anyways, looks like he's healthy. He's back. He played an extremely good game against the Boston Bruins the other night, made 33 saves for his 77th career shutout. 80% of goaltenders never play 77 games in their NHL career, and he's got 77 shutouts. So kudos to him and that. The Panthers... they just got to keep him healthy and just make sure that he gets his days, his maintenance days, and he's 39 years old.
I mean, you take a risk when you go into a season with a 39-year-old goalie.
Yeah, and you do. But, I mean, he's in great shape. and he takes care of himself, and he does the little things off the ice, on the ice, to make sure that he's prepared to play the game. He doesn't have to, like, play tonight. He doesn't have to practice tomorrow. He didn't practice yesterday. It's up to him. How does his body feel? The number one thing is Scotty Bowman, the winningest coach in the NHL history, always used to say, don't leave it on the practice field or the practice ice. Make sure you're ready to play, and that's the most important thing.
And with Luongo, because we know when they came back from Helsinki, went on a four-game winning streak, and Luongo was right there, and he was a part of that winning streak that started, you know, started him going because he's a great goalie. And then we see it last night beating the Bruins. Is there some kind of maintenance program, like let him play a couple minutes and see if the other team's offense is exciting and throw some, like, you know, just save his ice time, kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think with the start of the season, obviously he's in constant communication with not only Rob Tallis, who's the goalie coach, but all the whole coaching staff, and Bob Bugner, the head coach, and that. But he pretty well dictates when he wants to play and that, and they'll discuss it. And as long as he feels good, he'll go out and play.
Can you save him from himself some nights? Where, hey, I feel good, coach, but Lou, we don't need you tonight. We need you in two nights.
You know what?
Let's save it.
Jen, it doesn't work that way. I mean, there's no gimmies anymore. There's no, we're playing so-and-so, so it's an automatic 2 points. There is no automatic 2 points. You see it in the leagues so often now. Anybody can beat anybody in any given night. And for the Panthers, the position that they're in, they're only 4 points out behind Montreal for that second wild card spot. They got two games on hand. But in saying that, that's positive that they're in striking distance. But they've got to jump over a number of teams, and every win is so important. It doesn't matter if it's game 15, game 28, or 27 tonight, or game 55. They're all important.
The NHL announced that Seattle is the next franchise. How will hockey do in Seattle?
Fantastic. Number one, it's a great sports town.
Close to Vancouver.
Yes, and they've had a history of hockey there for a long time, and I think the economics are good there. There's a high income because of the different jobs, especially in the computer
and technology
and airlines and that, the aerospace and that kind of stuff. So I think they'll be able to support. There's lots of sponsorship and companies, big Fortune 500 companies that are there. So I think once the big question was getting. Redoing the renovation of the arena there, and they've got what they're going to do, their expansion is in that, and the way it's going to take a lot of time to do it, and they have to figure out parking and different stuff or whatever. So that extra year that they're going to take, they're going to be really ready to go. So I expect them. I don't know about on the ice, the success, but off the ice and with the fan support and the corporate sponsorship support, it should be a layup. It should be very good, and they got really good people that are behind it, and they have the means to finance everything and that too.
And you talk about the means and economics. Is hockey a rich man's sport? Like tennis is it a rich man's sport?
Well, it's expensive to play the equipment. I mean, skates are $600. Sticks now are $200 to $300 to play. So, if you're getting your kids into hockey, it's not a cheap sport. And then, of course, the ice rental and to be your team dues and league dues and that kind of stuff. It's not cheap. But I mean, the Panthers have had this program going on for a number of years now, where the Learn to Play program, and these kids for just a small amount can get all their equipment, and they get three ice times and be able to learn the game of hockey, and then roll right into a house league and that, and it's been overwhelmingly successful. So that's the way to do it.
What Randy Moeller is with us. You'll see him on Fox Sports Florida tonight. What is – we had Sean Thornton, I told you, on Tuesday, and we were talking about Helsinki, and I was asking, what's your favorite city outside of the U.S. and Canada? Like, is there a city where you really just love playing? And he said Prague.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had any overseas stuff when you were playing the NHL, but have you played in any foreign cities?
No, I didn't play. My brother played in the Olympic program for Canada for 1 year, and he was in Prague twice. And my brother said Prague is the most beautiful city he's ever seen. Absolutely love it. And I know Thordy and I were talking about it because Helsinki is a beautiful city and the people there, and they're so knowledgeable about the hockey and that. Any of those cities, I mean, Berlin and Sweden, you know, they play anywhere in Sweden or Finland or Czech Republic.
They're
hockey mad. It's amazing. So, I when I played the World Junior Championships, they were here in North America. I had a chance to, when I was playing for the Rangers, to go and play for the World Championships after our season was over. When I was playing for the Rangers, we got knocked out of the playoffs, but I had to go in and get shoulder surgery, so I couldn't go.
Settle a debate for us before you go here, Moeller. The greatest sports movie of all time.
Slapshot.
No, seriously. Oh. The greatest sports movie of all time
Slapshot.
Is...
Slapshot.
That was a quick answer.
Slapshot. Slapshot's fun, and obviously for a hockey guy, I'm sure it means something. But the greatest.
Well, do you want me to say Hoosiers, or do you want me to say? I mean,
you know what I want you to say because you retweeted it the other night and you gave it a thumbs up. I think.
Eight Man Out was good.
Rocky.
Yeah,
Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky was.
Rocky. Come on, you dolt.
Yeah, Rocky was.
Dolt.
I mean,
dolt. That's a good insult.
Adult? As far as I guess so.
No.
The biggest impact. When it first came out, it has to be Rocky.
What's the greatest sports movie ever made?
Probably. Yeah, probably. Maybe not in my book.
Slapshot. Are there other great hockey? Oh, Miracle. Miracle's a great hockey
Miracle?
Movie, no?
What about Mystery Alaska?
I never even heard of it.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds was in that. Look it up sometime. It was
a hockey movie?
Yeah, hockey movie up in Alaska.
Remember that Rob Lowe hockey movie, Young Bloods?
I mean,
Mighty Ducks.
How about Eight Man Out?
Well, that's baseball.
I know, but that's a sport, isn't it?
No, I'm just saying we started talking about hockey movies there for a moment, so I didn't know you were moving on to baseball. Best baseball sports movie ever is Field of Dreams.
Yeah,
we all
Field
know
of
that.
Dreams was
Listen
outstanding
to this.
As well.
Close your eyes, okay?
Okay.
And you say you tell me whether this is me impersonating James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams or whether Falero's playing the actual clip, okay? Because this is how good I am at it. You ready? Are your eyes closed?
Yep.
His eyes are closed. You ready? Baseball.
That's you.
That was James Earl Jones.
Baseball.
Really? Yeah. Now that was me.
Baseball.
Yeah.
I don't get it, bro.
Baseball.
He loves it.
Do you sit at home in your pajamas and think of all these things, or what's the deal?
Randy Moeller, you'll see him tonight on Fox Sports Florida. Panthers and Avalanche. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Hopefully we'll see you out at the BB&T Center. If not, you can listen to it on this radio station.
At the Funky Buddha.
Or you can enjoy yourself a little gloves off at the Funky Buddha Brewery Tap Room, or you can watch Moeller and Goldie on Fox Sports Florida tonight. Goldie's going to join us at 5 o'clock. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back after this.
Radio.com.
You just spit. He just drooled. He just.
Something's wrong with y'all, man. Good grief.
Me? That's Hawk.
No.
Yes, you're right. Something's wrong with you, Hawk.
I've said something. I didn't tell you to drool right as we were starting a segment.
I wasn't ready.
All Miami Hurricanes sports action can be heard here on AM 560 and 96.5 FM HD2. It's sponsored by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Talked plenty of Dolphins today. We've talked plenty of nonsense today, but plenty of Dolphins today. Would you like to hear the injury report?
Yes.
Injury report brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. The shocking thing on the injury report is that there's almost no New England Patriots on it, and usually they kind of litter that thing with Patriots. Tom Brady is on there. Doesn't look like he practiced today, and Rob Gronkowski is on there, but they're both going to play. So
you know how the Patriots put everybody on their report?
But now there's no one there.
Because the Dolphins have so many guys on IR and on the injury report.
They're trolling
report,
them.
Would they troll them the opposite way?
Because look at them. Because look visually, there's the Dolphins report and there's the Patriots report, and I do think that there's some gamesmanship involved there.
Because their whole thing, remember, because they got in trouble for hiding reports. Actually, the Dolphins got in trouble.
They got fined.
Earlier this year, and Adam Gase and the organization got fined. So, yeah, are the Patriots talking crap a little bit, subliminally?
I think so.
I don't like it.
Dolphins injury report, let's see, did not practice today. Center Jake Brendel, Frank Gore did not practice today. Everyone else practiced, although some people are still limited practice. Danny Amendola, limited practice. Kenyon Drake, limited practice. Devontae Parker, of course, and limited practice. Travis Swanson, the center, and
I was just about to say
Xavien Howard did not practice as well.
That's a big one,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Going against the Ravens. But I was going to say Brendel and Swanson both beat up. We're going to be on our fourth string center?
Yeah, it's strange. Like, they really do, and I've shared some of my displeasure, I think, with Ryan Tannehill moving forward or whatnot. But the truth is they have dealt with a voluminous number of injuries.
And it's funny. Do you blame – because a lot of people ask me this. They ask me this through the years, just even with the Gators teams and different teams I follow. Do you blame the organization, trainers?
I wonder, if that's a constant narrative surrounding Ryan Tannehill, then that means it's seven seasons worth of, injuries and coaching changes and coordinator changes. And so at some point you do have to say, well, wait a second, then there's something wrong with the organization.
Yeah, because I remember 2007 – who was it? Ronaldo Hill towards ACL. Ronnie Brown towards ACL. Cameron Worrell towards ACL. We had like seven ACLs torn. And the strength coach ended up getting fired because it was like, we can overlook one or two. Seven or eight guys tear their ACL. There was something going on in the summer where they weren't strengthening those small muscles around the knee or something like that. But the Dolphins, it's just different stuff. Devontae's shoulder, Ryan's knee, now Ryan's shoulder, now Xavier, the hip. Albert Wilson's hip, Jakeem Grant's Achilles. It's not that one injury, but it's just – I'm with you. It's been a decade of every year. It's just major injury after major injury.
And it's not just that, too. It's the weird and wacky stuff. The Forrester – what was his name? Chris Forrester was at the offensive line coach.
Yes.
There was that. There's the Jay Ajayi stuff that went on.
Lawrence Timmons
AWOL. Lawrence Timmons going AWOL. Like, I mean, there's been so much drama in the LBC.
You know the LBC stands for Long Beach, California?
I got into my who's that, Snoop? I just got into I started spitting some lyrics. Spitting lyrics, Laro. Do you have a sound for that?
Spitting
you
rhymes.
You said there's so much drama, and your body would not let you.
Can you say there's so much drama and not follow it with in the LBC? Go ahead, try.
I just did it twice.
So, try it.
There's so much drama.
In the LBC. See?
That was you.
That was you.
Oh, that's my voice?
That was you. Yeah, do it again.
There's so much drama.
In the LBC.
In the LBC. There's so much drama in the LBC.
That's the injury report brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Today is a huge anniversary in the lifetime, in the career of my radio partner, Channing Crowder. On this day, 9 years ago, this happened.
Cameron Wake on the field now, the pass rushing specialist. Going after him, got him! Oh, he got the football from kickoff! Channing Crowder with an interception at the 38-yard line, and this football game is all but over! The Miami Dolphins have come from a 14-point deficit to beat the New England Patriots, 22-21 here at Landshark Stadium.
Look at that. Crowder with the INT of Tom Brady.
Yes.
Sealed the victory for the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
I Instagrammed some video. On Instagram, I'm Radio Mark Hockman. I Instagrammed some video of Crowder here at the BB&T Center beaming. He is literally beaming at the memory of that interception.
Stop it, because it's not genuine.
What's not genuine?
Like, I like it and I appreciate it and all, but you're not out of you.
What do you mean?
Just the Twitter people are tweeting me to pay. I understand, but not out of you.
Well, I don't understand.
You don't compliment people. You're a bad complimenter, and it sounds very facetious, and sounds like you're making a joke.
This is the weirdest thing because I do like to troll people.
You're smirking now.
I almost got my ass kicked by Sean Thornton here on Tuesday. I like to push buttons. But I am not pushing your buttons on this one. I am celebrating not just a great moment in Dolphins history, but a great – why are you shrugging your shoulders?
Because you're lining it up again. Not just a great moment in Dolphin history, but a great moment in my radio partner's lifelong longevities of this evacuation.
And your impersonation of me? So much drama in the LBC.
No, man. You're making a joke out of it.
I'm really not, though.
Make a play. The interception.
That was your interception.
That was your interception.
What am I saying that's incorrect?
You're joking about the quantity. It was quality, but you're joking about the quantity.
If you play in the AFC East and you could have one career interception, who would it be against?
Tom Brady.
In fact, if you play in the NFL and you could have one career interception, who would it be against?
Tom Brady.
Okay, well, you accomplished that. That's something I will never come close to accomplishing, and I'm complimenting you. I'm not
there
being
you go.
What do you mean, there you go?
There you go.
I don't understand.
There you go. Want to make fun of my kids now?
Valero, does it sound like I'm making fun of him?
No, I think you sound very complimentary on him, okay?
I'm sorry, what?
I think you sound very complimentative.
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 This guy's special.
All right, there you go. I'm proud of you, and I know
I'm
Dolphins
proud of you
fans
too,
are.
Crowder. Yeah.
And you don't even start back there.
What do you mean?
I'm gonna be in the studio tomorrow, so whatever you say now, I'm gonna remember.
You have a weird defect.
So I can't say thank you
when it comes
okay.
to this.
Strike two.
What did he say? That's
strike
a,
two.
What did he say? That's a strike.
What? Whatever. Because y'all both with the giggles, with the
no,
face. I
no
guarantee
one's giggling.
Falero smirking right now with that little
smirking.
Ugly little facial hair. Yeah,
I'm proud
you are.
Of you. I'm proud of you, Crowder.
There
happy
you
anniversary.
That's strike three. That's
what
strike
did he
three.
Do?
That's strike three. So just when he knows, when I hit him tomorrow, don't be with the scary, with the surprise.
All right.
Just know why I tore your chest up.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm disappointed in you,
again,
Crowder.
We've got 1 hour left
four.
To celebrate
strike
this
four.
Monumental interception.
You're going for a whole inning here.
Steve Goldstein, Goldie, will join us to continue our celebration in a moment.